I want to warn you first, ADHD, no meds today, and menopause, right? So when we put them together, I have to warn people, like, I have something I want to say here, but woo, who knows where we will end up? I also want to say to Lisa, I took my daughter to see Fun Home, and it was amazing. And also, it was the weekend that there was a MAGA, like, convention, and I couldn't figure out where everyone was wearing red hats. I don't even know if my daughter knows that it was a MAGA convention, because when it hit me, I was like, oh, God, I can't say that. But the ring of the butches. Butches are so delicious, aren't they? I mean, somebody, a femme out there has to be like, yes, right? The butches in the Ring of Keys, and at the end of it, I just sat and sobbed, and my daughter was like, come on, Mom, they're trying to clean the theater, like, you have to pull yourself together. My daughter's always been my greatest teacher, even before she was born. So, do you all remember that song, I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me? Anyone? Yeah. I'm also apparently an elder. People keep telling me that. I remember that song from my childhood because I hated it. Because I couldn't understand, like, this idea of traveling to all of these really cool places, and then the idea, I've never been to me, but aren't you the one who's going to all those places? And so it was really, really hard to understand until I became an adolescent. And I remember looking back on my journal one day, writing when I was maybe 11 and a half or 12, when I was asking God why I should stay alive, because the experiences that I was having made it seem like God was trying to get me to die. And so I wrote to God in my journal, please, God, I am already black. I am already fat. I am already a woman. Please don't make me gay. And so I had a similar timeline. I married this guy who was my friend, and it was a really bad marriage because, guess what, I was queer and he was an alcoholic. It ended, and I started a support group for people who had been in women who had been in heterosexual marriages but were coming out as queer, for many years in my home. And still, there were parts of me inside that felt like I didn't quite fit. And I was a depressed kid, at least when I look back at who I was. And my daughter helped me figure out how to make my phone not, like, you know, go dark. And because I didn't send the picture quickly, early enough in the week, I'm actually going to pass around my phone so you can see this picture a little later on. But when I think back in my mind about my teenage self, I just see a very depressed, socially anxious person who's unlovable. I felt I had no worth. When I came out to my dad said, look, gay people have always had to struggle, and struggle has made people strong. So if you want to be gay, go ahead. That's fine with me. And still, the depression and the anxiety followed me. One thing, though, that did lift me up was I was a punk rock kid. I had a pink fuchsia hair, and I wore like high tops, and like I listened to like Circle Jerks and like New Wave, and that is one place where I found grit. I think it was Alain who was talking about grit. And as I grew up, you know, I was getting taller and I was wearing these clothes that grown-ups wear, but I was still that sad, kind of not having enough worth little girl. And then I started being in lesbian relationships, lots of them, one after the other. Each of them, right in my mind's eye, this is it. This is the one. This is the one. And then, like 6 weeks later, okay, that wasn't the one. But now I'm gonna find the next one. And this one is the one, right? And the moving all the stuff, and you're schlepping it in, and then you're schlepping it out. And I thought this was the one. Ignoring the red flags, you know, every once in a while you see a yellow flag and you try to find the green in it, but it's not there, and the self-help books keep coming in, you know, attachment theory and like effective communication, and it just never got better. I had been on this stage a couple of years ago, and I thought, again, I had found the one. And she was not the one. So I went back on Hinge because, you know, that is, of course, what you do when your heart is broken and you haven't gotten over the relationship where you just recently moved out all of your stuff, including all of your plants. And your daughter says to you, I really knew that it was going to go this way. And you want to say to her, shut up, but she's right. So I got back on Hinge. And I saw this woman. Oh my goodness. She was like, she had won like a jello fighting in one of the pictures there. She had won this like jello fighting contest. And like, folks, like, you know, I was used to like butch, a little bit like chunky, you know, and she was like so thin in this like bikini with like, I mean, I like bones sticking out where I just don't, are there, do I have those bones in my body? I don't know. She was Jewish. And I thought, okay, maybe I should try it this way, because a lot of the people that I had been dating weren't Jewish, and so they weren't bringing me flowers on Friday. And that really pissed me off, and we weren't having sex on Shabbat. And that was really pissing me off. Okay, so this girl is Jewish. So I liked her picture, she liked it back, and she said, you're so interesting, let's meet. And it was in March, and the cherry blossoms were blooming. And we had this idea that we would go to an event at 6th and I. Oh my gosh. And she wanted me to hold her hand. And then maybe we'd go see the cherry blossoms. And if that worked out, then maybe we would kiss that night. So, of course, I was driving my 2010 Toyota Camry. My God, I loved that car so much. And this was just a year and a half ago. And on that day in March, of course, it was 90 degrees in March. And my 2010 beautiful Toyota Camry didn't have air conditioning. So I had to roll all the windows down. And menopause, you know, I have like the comb over. And so when I arrived at Janine's house, my hair was like, and she was this very femme 100-pound, like 4'10" person. And we had that moment where we looked at each other and each of us thought, this is not going to work out. Because what am I going to do with someone who's 100 pounds? I'm going to break her. Like, I don't. But we went on the date. We walked to the subway, a long way to the subway, and then we got on the subway, and I don't know how the subway works in Washington, D.C., and then we walked some more. We went to 6th and I, and it was great, a book about having a good life. And then it started to rain, and of course she had an umbrella, but I didn't bring one because she thinks of everything. And then we walked some more, and we walked some more, and we walked some more in the rain. When we got back to her house, I handed her a dozen, like, ruby orange roses because it was Thursday night. And I wanted her to know she was a woman of valor. As I was driving back home, and it was still hot, I was like, you know, I got a bad feeling. And I got home and I looked at my phone, and there was a message from her. And she said, I really like you, but I really don't think there's any sexual chemistry between us, because you're a really nice person, but like, you're shaped sort of like my grandmother, and you have a very high voice like my grandmother. You're very sweet and very kind, just like my grandmother, and so I can't even imagine having sex with you because you remind me of my grandmother. But I think you're a really nice person, and so, like, I would love to be your friend, and maybe you want to wear your hair back because, you know. And I thought, what the fuck? Who the fuck is this? Who are you? And so, in my car, still in my hot-ass car, I pull my phone out and I'm texting back. When you say this, it makes me feel that. And I don't really appreciate that. When you did this, it made me feel like that. And all the walking with my wet shoes, like, oh my God. But I said, you are going to miss a good thing if you do not slow down and pay attention to me. She was like, wow, I've never met anybody who communicated their feelings so clearly. That's kind of hot. And so we spent some more time getting to know each other. And I made her, after 6 or 7 weeks or so, and guess what? There's sexual tension building. I made her a playlist. You all probably don't know, but I am the woman of the mixtape. If I really care about you, that mixtape is so sweet. But if you fucked me over, there's a lot of angry Ani DeFranco. So I made this woman a playlist that was 11 hours long. And it explained, let's get to know each other. I think you're very beautiful. Let's see if we can make it work. This could be a beautiful journey. Let's get it on, too. It's in there. And she couldn't believe it. And then a few weeks later, I made her a zine. And I rewrote psalms, love psalms, for her. And I put in photographs of things I knew she loved, like the Flaming June. And on the very back page, I said, "May I kiss you?" And she said, "Yes." And yes, we have been together ever since. And I'm not moving my stuff in. My daughter said to me about 3 months into this relationship, "This is the first adult you have ever dated." I know, right? She speaks truth. This was called unapologetic. And I'm getting ready to pass this photograph around. I don't know who's there, but about 4 weeks ago, someone forwarded me this photograph. I'm in St. Mary's County, where the KKK moved around without fear. And I hadn't realized, no one had talked to me about intersectionality, and I didn't realize that all of the isms that I was facing, that I had internalized them, and that's why I felt so crappy all the time. But that picture, that girl in that photograph, is so fucking kick ass. And she survived. And somehow, that kick ass girl rose up that evening when Janine said, "You remind me a bit of my grandmother." Yeah, she calls me Cougar now, and I like that a lot better. I'll hold on to that. Yes, yes, yes. She is 10 years younger than me. All right, okay. And her soul is so pure. And so is our love, and our love for Judaism. I was thinking about that song, "I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me." And finally, especially when I saw that photograph for the first time, and I saw that kid in that Frankie Say Relax t-shirt. And if any of you come from a small town, you know how hard it is to have like an item like that. And that pink parasol. And that no-nonsense face. She is the one who has guided me home, finally, to my punk rock self. And I am so very grateful. And I am also so grateful every day, even though she's not punk rock, but she is kick-ass, that I survived long enough to be the mother to my amazing kid. Thank you.